南無妙法蓮華経，南無妙法蓮華経，南無妙法蓮華経。Hi everyone, I hope this finds you in good health. It's safe circumstance. Checking out my setup here. All right, to continue. What's going on here? We are starting chapter 15. Springing up from beneath the earth. I've talked about this in previous videos. You may remember that springing up from beneath the earth is a metaphor for just like the lotus flower springing up, not blossoming quite yet, but growing into from sowing a harvest of the blossoming and seeding of the lotus flower. This is a future portent, right? As Nichiren talks about the Buddhism of sowing and the Buddhism of harvest, right? So prior to Mapo, you could look at this teaching of the lotus basically explaining to all of this assembly, huge as it is, that although all of these bodhisattvas are saying at various levels, right, whether they considered themselves arhats or sharvakas or those having more to learn, those having no more to learn, blah, 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 all the different types of minds in the audience, trying to assure Shakyamuni Buddha to not have anxiety, to not, of course he doesn't have anxiety, he's Buddha, but anyway. Please have no concerns about the loss of this teaching. We will ensure, we will propagate, we will go abroad, we will publish this teaching. We will make certain that it is not lost. But as you will see, this is all well and fine. Thank you so much. Please do what you say you're going to do. You're taking this vow. But in 2,500 years, will your influence still be enough? And the fact of the matter is because you're committing for this teaching to be promulgated and continue into the future, new bodhisattvas will come around, new practitioners of the Lotus Sutra will evolve, will find those teachings. Thank you. But as for this fifth 500-year period after my extinction, or what he's saying is the Tathagata extinction, although it's not extinct, it's just the Buddha emanation of Tathagata will be extinct. It falls upon human beings to continue this work. And those human beings, 2,500 years in the future, will be the bodhisattvas from springing up from beneath the earth, just like the seeds are being laid now. And in this future era, Nichiren, you, me, we will sprout into the human experiment, the human experience, I should say. It sometimes feels like an experiment, doesn't it? And it will be up to us to take up the responsibility of making sure that this teaching doesn't just fade away. Like everything in the cosmos, right? Springs up, abides, decays, dissolves. Everything does this. And the teaching is no different. So, springing up from beneath the earth is a metaphor for you and I in this future age and those that come after us to promulgate this teaching. Make sense? All right, let's get into it. At that time, the bodhisattva mahasattvas, who had come from other lands, numerous as the sands of 8 Ganges, arose in the great assembly with folded hands, saluted and spoke to the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, if the Buddha will allow us, after his extinction, diligently and zealously to protect and keep, read and recite, copy and revere this sutra in this Saha world, we would teach it abroad in this land." Thereupon, the Buddha addressed all the host of those bodhisattva mahasattvas. "Enough, my good sons and daughters. There is no need for you to protect and keep this sutra." Well, he didn't mean entirely. He was just speaking of the future, yes. "For what reason?" Yes, we'd like to know. "Because in my Saha world, there are in fact bodhisattva mahasattvas numerous as the sands of 60,000 Ganges. Each one of these mahasattvas has a retinue numerous as the sands of 60,000 Ganges." Whew, this is getting too big to calculate, yeah? "These persons are able, after my extinction, to protect and keep, read and recite, and teach abroad this sutra." A little annotation here. "This pronouncement must have stunned all of those in the assembly." Yeah. "The assembly is already so large as to be completely unfathomable. So where are these other bodhisattvas?" The answer? The future. Continuing. "When the Buddha had thus spoken, all of the earth of the 3,000 great thousandfold land of the Saha world trembled and quaked. And from its midst, there issued together innumerable thousand myriad kodas of bodhisattva mahasattvas. All these bodhisattvas, with their golden-hued bodies, 32 signs, and boundless radiance, had all their before been dwelling in infinite space, or in Sanskrit, akasha, space or ether. It's often used as a synonym for sunyata, or emptiness, right? What we would in science call the nothing that isn't nothing, right? And now we have all sorts of theories about dark energy and dark matter. We know there's something there. It's not nothing. And now we get into quantum with things coming in and out of existence constantly. Right? It's just formations, but science doesn't know to call it that. Anyway, so these future bodhisattvas are below this Saha world. Below is always convenient for something hidden, right? Where did you find that? Oh, it was under my bed or is under the couch. It's below is always the greatest hiding place, yeah? "All these bodhisattvas, hearing the voice of Shakyamuni Buddha teaching, sprang forth from below." Now remember, there's no hell or heaven in Buddhism, although those words are used a lot in translations. This is about aspirations. This is about metaphors and how the mind works and so on and so forth, right? "Each one of these bodhisattvas was the commander of a great host, leading a retinue as the sands of 60,000 Ganges. Moreover, others led by retinues numerous as the sands of 50,000, 40,000, 30,000, 20,000. They all had a tremendous retinue, whether you want to call those followers or students or monks, or it's just people, you and I, dedicated to our practice of Buddhism, yeah, at all levels. "Down to a fraction of a thousand of myriads of kodas of nayutas," on and on and on and on, on. "Nayutas of followers, moreover, myriads of kodas of followers, moreover, a thousand myriad," just lots and lots and lots and lots of people. So these could be descendants, these could be students, these could be relatives. It's just exploring and explaining the fabric of humanity in the future, practicing the Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo. Okay? "Ending with the powers of comprehension by calculation or comparison." You just can't. You can't conceive of how many. And in truth, I don't know how what the population was 3,000 years ago, but to consider 8 billion humans on the planet today, it breaks my mind, right? So, when these bodhisattvas had emerged from the earth, each went up to the wonderful stupa of the precious 7 jewels in the sky, in the air, where were the Tathagata abundant treasures, Tahoe, and Shakyamuni Buddha. On their arrival, they made reverence with faces to the ground to both the world-honored ones, and going to the Buddhas seated on the lion thrones under the jewel trees, they also saluted them 3 times, making processions around them on their right, with folded hands revering them and extolling them with all kinds of bodhisattva chants, right? The dharanis. Then they stood to one side with delight, gazing upon both the world-honored ones, 2 Buddhas. From the time that these bodhisattva mahasattvas first issued from the earth and extolled the Buddhas with all kinds of bodhisattva chants, in the interval, there had passed 50 minor kalpas. It took that long for all of them to get into position, yeah? During all this time, Shakyamuni Buddha sat in silence, and silent also were the 4 groups, bhikshus, bhikshunis, upasakas, upasikas, yeah? But the 50 kalpas, through the transcendent power of the Buddha, seemed a great multitude as half a day. It just felt like forever, watching this stream of people appear, yeah? At that time, the 4 groups, also by the transcendent power of the Buddha, saw the bodhisattvas who everywhere filled the space of innumerable 100,000 myriad kotas of domains. Among the host of those bodhisattvas, there were the 4 leading teachers. The first was named Eminent Conduct, the second named Boundless Conduct, the third named Pure Conduct, and the fourth named Steadfast Conduct. Now, if you those sharp-eyed amongst you will understand that these are just another set of names for the 4 leaders of the bodhisattvas, which are, yes, captured as and calligraphied on that mandala behind me, yeah? The mandala that you use. There's a subtone. These 4 bodhisattvas are called the 4 great primarily or eternally evolved bodhisattvas. So these would be the personifications of sentient human minds dedicated to the spread of Myoho Rinkeikyo. And Nichiren very much identified with all of them, particularly one, but only in that his life mirrored so much of the story of the lotus and his sentiment and dedication to the lotus, right? Not that he was an incarnation of, but he certainly personified, as you and I are trying to do, personify Nichiren in our lives to the best of our ability, yeah? All right. These 4 bodhisattvas are of their host, the chief heads and leaders. In front of their great hosts, each of them with folded hands looked towards Shakyamuni Buddha and inquired of him, saying, and before I have an annotation here, as you know, these 4 leaders of the bodhisattvas from beneath the earth are well known to Nichiren followers, also known by variations on these named and led by eminent conduct or superior practices bodhisattvas, is a leader with whom Nichiren strongly identified as his model of life and propagation and as a leader of all those of us in this modern era of Mapo. So I've captured what I wanted to say, what I said earlier. So they say to Shakyamuni, world-honored one, do you have few ailments and few troubles, and are you at ease? Are those who you trust or you must save readily receiving the teachings? Do they cause the world-honored one not to become weary? I hope you're having a good time of propagation. And there's a few words here I'm going to use a sticker for. I have to make sure that I changed. I think I did, but it's what happens when you're using an outdated revision. Thereupon, the four great bodhisattvas spoke thus in verse. Is the world-honored one at ease, with few ailments and few troubles, in instructing all the living beings? Is he free from weariness? And are all the living readily accepting his teaching? Do they cause the world-honored one not to get tired? So in true fashion, and certainly foretelling bodhisattvas of this era, the recognition that there's a tremendous amount of effort, 24/7, 365 and a quarter, this effort, this strenuous challenge, trying to lead the ignorant or the in-progress sentient minds toward their Buddha mind, opening their Buddha eye, accepting that that is the sole goal of our practice, to open that Buddha mind, that everything else that we're attached to in samsara all resolves itself. There's no need to wish upon it, right? There's no magic here. Once you get your mind right, once you open that Buddha eye, everything just takes its proper place. There is no stress. There is no obstacle. Everything just is as it is and becomes just color and texture of the experience of life. And only the Buddha eye wide open can observe everything without judgment, without obstacle, without what other adjectives could I come up with? Hindrances, right? That is Buddha-ness. There are no hindrances. Everything just works as it should, fully expressed, right? There's nothing in the way. Life is happening. Be in it. This is what it is to open the Buddha eye. All of the other things that you wish this, I could that, what if there was, that's all illusion. That's what stress, anxiety, suffering is about. First noble truth. Stop concerning yourself with that stuff. Have one concern and one concern only. Open that Gohonzon gate, that Buddha eye, and immerse yourself in the moment of everything happening. Be part of this momentum. Every time you get out of that momentum, you're in nowhere land. You're in your head, which is making stuff up because there's nothing there. You keep wanting to look to the past. The past is gone. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying it's not happening now. It seems simple in words, but to get that mind wrapped around that, just open your Buddha eye. It'll seem perfectly logical. That's our one goal. Chant about that. Single-mindedly chanting to meet Buddha. Nichiren says it all the time. Then the world-honored one, in the great assembly of the bodhisattvas, spoke thus. So it is, my good sons and daughters. Now you got to think the rest of the assembly is my good sons and daughters. Where did they come from? Where have your sons and daughters been? They're not quite catching that this is a future. And even if they did, how could they be sons and daughters in the future? genealogy aside, yeah? It's very confusing to the assembly, but we're going to get to that. The Tathagata is at ease. Now, that's a big statement, because the Tathagata is the universal basis for the universe, yeah? Shakyamuni is simply an instantiation of Tathagata, a Buddha. With few ailments and few troubles, these beings are easy to transform, and I am free from weariness. Well, that's good to hear. For what reason? Because all these beings, for generations, have constantly received my instructions and revered and honored the former Buddhas, cultivating roots of goodness. All these beings, from first seeing me and hearing my teaching, received it in resolve and entered the Tathagata wisdom, except those who had previously practiced and learned the small vehicle, the lesser vehicles, right? They've struggled a bit. But even such people as these, I have now caused to hear this sutra and enter the Buddha wisdom. Ah, right? That's what we've witnessed in the first half of the Lotus Sutra. Even the arhats, pratyekabuddhas, and sravakas that he constantly berated as having scorched their seeds of Buddhahood, ichantikas, incorrigible disbelief. What were they incorrigible disbelieving? That they could attain Buddhahood in this life. They just were mired in this old tradition that would have to come. You know the story. And finally, in this Lotus Sutra, he breaks them of that delusion. And they all awaken to the fact that, even though they had to be told, that they are going to attain Buddhahood. Certainly. Some of them understand, like Shariputra, I think, we're not 100% sure, gets that he can become a Buddha now in this life. They all hear that, they all accept that, but some of them are more sure than others. Remember the Dragon King's daughter, the 8-year-old? Yeah, they had to have that in their face to go, not only does this happen immediately, in less time than we think time, but to a female? Yeah. Minds are difficult to change, yeah? They adhere, right? Craving and clinging. There it is. But as he says, I broke through with this teaching. So it's happening. Thereupon, these great bodhisattvas spoke thus in verse, good, good, great hero, world-honored one, all these living creatures are easily transformed by the Tathagata, are able to inquire into the profound wisdom of Buddhas and hearing to accept and discern. We congratulate you. Then the world-honored one extolled these supreme chiefs, the great bodhisattvas, saying, good, good, my good sons and daughters, you may rightly be minded to congratulate the Tathagata. Then Maitreya Bodhisattva, and the host of other bodhisattvas of the assembly, numerous as the sands of the 8,000 Ganges, all reflected thus. From of old, we have never seen or heard of such a host of great Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, where'd they come from? Issuing from the earth, standing in the presence of the world-honored ones, with folded hands, revering and inquiring of the Tathagata. Then Maitreya Bodhisattva Mahasattva, being aware of the thoughts in his mind, and in the minds of all the bodhisattvas, numerous as the sands of 8,000 Ganges, and desiring also to resolve his own doubt, folded his hand toward the Buddha and asked him thus in verse. These innumerable thousand myriad kotas, this great host of bodhisattvas, are such as we have never seen before. Be pleased to explain, honored of men, from what places they have come, for what reason they have assembled. Huge of body, of transcendent power, of wisdom inconceivable, firm of will and memory, with great powers of long suffering, whom all the living rejoice to see, whence have they come? Each of these bodhisattvas leads on a retinue whose numbers are beyond compute, like the sands of the Ganges. There are also the great bodhisattvas leading followers numerous as 60,000 Ganges sands. Such mighty hosts with one mind seek the Buddha way. These great leaders in number as 60,000 Ganges sands all come and revere the Buddha and guard and keep this sutra. Some still more numerous lead followers numerous as 50,000 Ganges. Now we're going to go through all the different numbers. Or a myriad kodas of disciples, or even half a kodai of disciples. These leaders are still more numerous than the above. The leaders of a million or 10,000, 1,000 or 100 or 50 or 10 or 3 or 2 or 1. Single ones with no following who enjoy solitariness have all come together to the Buddha in numbers even greater than the leaders above. Such are these great hosts that if a man kept tally through kalpas numerous as Ganges sands, he still could not fully know them. These great, majestic, and zealous bodhisattva hosts, who has taught the law to them, instructed and perfected them? From whom did they get their start? What Buddha law have they extolled? Whose sutra received, kept, and practiced? What Buddha way have they followed? Couldn't be you. That's the subtext, yeah? Such bodhisattvas as these with transcendent powers and great wisdom in all quarters of the riven earth all spring forth from its midst. World-honored one from long ago, we have never seen such things. Be pleased to tell us the name of the domain from which they come. Roaming constantly in many domains, I have never seen such a host. And amid all of this host, I know not a single one who suddenly springs forth up from the earth. Be pleased to tell us its cause. What's going on? What's happening? This great congregation, now present, innumerable 100,000 kodas of these bodhisattvas and others, all desire to know this matter of all these bodhisattva hosts. What is the course of their history? Well, it hasn't happened yet, yeah? But, world-honored one of measureless virtue, be pleased to resolve our doubts. We're confused. We just now found out about this teaching. We just now attained a new level of Buddha wisdom with this Lotus Sutra that we've never experienced before. And here are these guys. Where'd they come from? What have they been teaching? Who taught them, right? Meanwhile, the Buddhas who had emanated from Shakyamuni Buddha and had come from innumerable thousand myriad kodas of domains in other quarters sat cross-legged on lion thrones under the jeweled trees in every directions. Yeah, they didn't ask this question about them. They just assumed, okay, these are Buddhas that Shakyamuni has taught. But that's you and I. That's everyone. Everyone is a Buddha who Shakyamuni has taught. Because Buddha is a mental condition, an experience of the engine of life. Right? But still, the attachment of a human body to this is still plaguing the understanding of what Buddha is, yeah? And to be fair, the language doesn't make it very clear either, right? To this day, it still seems to be within... I mean, language is attached to the body, so how can it avoid being referential to body, 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 body. We're designed samsarically, for crying out loud, yeah? All right. The attendants of these Buddhas each beheld the great host of bodhisattvas who, in every direction of the 3,000 great thousandfold world, issued from the earth and dwelt in space. And each spoke to his own Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, this great, countless, illimitable, Asamkaya, host of bodhisattvas, whence have they come?" Thereupon, each of those Buddhas told his own attendants, "Good sons and daughters, wait a while. There is a bodhisattva mahasattva whose name is Maitreya, and who has been predestined by Shakyamuni Buddha as the next Buddha. He has already asked about this matter. The Buddha is now going to reply to him, and from his reply, you will hear for yourselves." Okay, okay, children, pay attention. Thereupon, Shakyamuni Buddha addressed Maitreya Bodhisattva, and these unfathomably uncountable numbers of ears all went, "Good, good, Ajita." It's kind of Maitreya's nickname. "You have well asked the Buddha concerning such a great matter. Do you all, with one mind, don the armor of zeal and exhibit a firm will?" Right? That single-minded thing again. In other words, hone your attentive skills, my friends. We're about to mic drop on you. "For the Tathagata now intends to reveal and proclaim the wisdom of Buddhas, the sovereign and supernatural power of Buddhas, the lion's eagerness of Buddhas, and the awe-inspiring, forceful power of Buddhas." If you put your minds together, Itai Doshin, many in body, one in mind, Nichiren would tell us, all these Buddhas, is all these enlightened minds, have tremendous multiplied influence. Remember, I keep telling you, as you hone your own Buddha eye, you radiate into your environment. It affects your environment. This is what he's talking about. I'm now going to tell you about the strength of this transcendent power that you have, that all of you have, all we have. "Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse, 'Be zealous and of one mind.'" I'm going to say it again. Buddhism has one objective: not to fix the 3 billion different ailments and obstacles that you think are getting in your way of achieving. That's samsara. There is only one objective in Buddhism, and that is Buddha. Awaken Buddha. Chant to invoke Buddha. Namo Myoho Rengekyo. That's it. Keep waking him up, or her up, or it up. Waken Buddha. With Buddha wisdom, Buddha mind, you will transcend, right? We hear this word all the time. What you mean? What does it mean to transcend? You transcend, you avoid, you go around, through, under, over, around, while you embrace everything, your cravings and clingings evaporate. That craving and clinging, past, future, that's your suffering. You want your boo-boo to stop hurting? Buddha. Oh, what boo-boo? Right, Buddha. If you want to change the boo-boo, Remember we read something where Buddha Shakyamuni said, people try using all manner of samsara to cure samsara. Hello? Stop thinking about that. Start thinking about the rhythm, the engine, the momentum of life. Then all that stuff, it's exhaust. It's momentum right now. And it is what it is. There's no suffering attached to it because there's no craving or clinging. Claving. I'll make up a new word. That's craving and clinging together. Claving. All right, I'll shut up. Made myself laugh. Sorry. Be zealous and of one mind. Wow. Bumper sticker. I am about to expound this matter. Have no doubts or disquietude. Inconceivable is the Buddha wisdom, because it happens moment to moment and it's constantly there if you just join along with it, and it has no limits because everything that occurs is an instantiation of energy in forms hitherto unknown. It continues to create. You either get on board with the process, or miss it, or stress about it, or do something else, but you ain't living. Inconceivable is the Buddha wisdom. Do you now exert your resolve? Be steadfast in the virtue of endurance. You gotta make the effort to stay awake. And I don't mean gallons of coffee. I mean awake in Buddha wisdom. Stay in Buddha. Look upon everything you experience with your skandhas and your lower consciousnesses as expressions of Buddha. Watch your mind change instantly. For the law never heard of before, now you all are about to hear. I now first put your minds at ease. Cherish neither doubts nor fear. The Buddha has no words but the true. His wisdom is beyond measure. The supreme law attained by him is profound and beyond discrimination. Such law, let me now expound, and do you all with one mind listen. Man, that's repeated a lot. Nichiren tells us this all the time. Use your power of conviction. Use your power of resolve. Know that this is happening. And you need to hitch a ride on it. You need to awaken your consciousness of moment to moment to moment to moment to moment momentum. And I can't believe how many books have been written by so-called experts translating that thought into a word like faith. Plea! This has nothing to do with faith. This phony word of commitment to something mystical that nobody knows but will have confidence in. Confidence in what? I don't know. It's just I have faith. Shut the hell up. Stop using that word. It is messing up your head. It is samsara itself. We don't use that word in this school. No, we're Buddhists. That word is an affront to a Buddhist. No, we have resolve, we have confidence, we have conviction. Yes, these are things that come from inside of us. That's where Buddha is. Right, Nichiren? Never seek this Gohonzon. outside your 5-foot body of flesh and blood. Never seek Buddhahood outside this flesh and blood body. It's the mind of Buddha. Gohonzon is the mind, the open gate of Buddha wisdom, experience. It's the Buddha eye. This is Nichiren, not Sylvain. This is Nichiren talking. I'm just repeating his words. Listen. Same thing Shakyamuni is saying. And do you all with one mind listen? What is it to have one mind? It's pretty damn focused, isn't it? Get sharp here. Then the world-honored one, having spoken these verses, addressed Maitreya Bodhisattva. Now I and this great assembly declare to you all, Ajita, all these great Bodhisattva Mahasattvas in innumerable and numberless Asamkayas, who have issued from the earth and whom you have never seen before, I, in this Saha world, after attaining perfect enlightenment, instructed and led them, all these bodhisattvas controlled their minds and caused them to set their thoughts on the way. All these bodhisattvas dwell in the space beneath this Saha world, where they read, recite, penetrate, ponder, discriminate the sutras, and correctly keep them in memory. They've memorized all of my sermons. Where? When? But see, he's projecting this into the future. What they don't realize is their commitment to promulgate and publish these teachings is what ultimately teaches these bodhisattvas from beneath the earth. They are yet to come. But in the storytelling fashion of the day, it is as though Shakyamuni himself taught them. Is he not teaching us? Did he not teach Nichiren? Is Nichiren not teaching us what he's teaching us? What Shakyamuni is teaching us? You see? It's not that hard to understand the rhetoric here. You just got to get detached from the words and understand the meaning going on here. Ajita, these good sons have not found pleasure in talking among the crowd, but have found their pleasure in quiet places, in diligence and zeal. Again, that word zeal, an excited commitment, a dedication to this singular truth. Zeal. Can you do that? That is what is required. Nichiren constantly reminds us, you can attain enlightenment by zeal alone, not faith. Zeal, your effort, your commitment, your confidence. Not, please give it to me. Waste of time. Waste. Worse than waste. They have not relaxed nor clung to abodes among men and universal realms of influence, but have ever taken their pleasure in profound wisdom without let or hindrance, have ever rejoiced in the law of Buddhas, and with one mind have zealously sought supreme wisdom. How many times does he have to say it? In our modern terminology, we would say that these bodhisattvas are cultivated into the potential manifestations of future practitioners to be karmically predisposed of the lotus teachings. Does that make more sense? That's a little annotation from yours truly. Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. All of these great bodhisattvas from the numberless kalpas have studied the Buddha wisdom. All of them are my converts, whom I have caused to desire the great way. These are my sons who dwell in this Buddha world, ever practicing the dutta deeds, joyfully devoted to quiet places, shunning the clamor of the crowds with no pleasure in much talk. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, I have a definition here. The word dutta has varied meanings associated with ascetic or endured practices for devotional strength. In this particular case, we can take this to mean their long awaiting for birth in the Saha world as human beings. So he's speaking to the very formations of mind, the very formations of humans, you and me. And them and her. Such sons as these are learning the law of my way, always zealous day and night for the sake of seeking the Buddha way. They dwell in the space beneath the Saha world. So now it's not so much underground, is it? It's under a certain sphere of being, the Saha world. So they're yet to come. Their potential is awaiting formations for them to instantiate. Same formula, engine of life, over and over and over and over. Firm in their power of will and memory, ever diligently seeking after wisdom, they teach all kinds of wonderful laws, having no fear in their minds, no doubts. Resolve. I, near the city of Gaya, sitting beneath the Bodhi tree, accomplished perfect enlightenment. Enrolling the supreme law wheel, I have then taught and converted them, and cause them first to aspire to the way. Now all abide in the never-relapsing state, and all will become Buddhas. What I now speak is the truth. Accept me with single minds. I, from a long distant past, have instructed all these, this host. All right, I'm going to stop here. I have a lengthy annotation at this point. I'm going to start the next video with that annotation. I'm going to talk some more. I'm telling you, we're in the marrow of the Lotus Sutra right now. Understanding that this Tathagata-ness is intrinsic to the cosmos. This is what Shakyamuni is elocuting here. We're all instantiations of the engine of life. The fact that we're ignorant of it just shows how distracted we are by just the fascination of stuff. And that's okay, it exists, the stuff, but it's temporary. Stop getting so hooked into it. Start shifting your mind to a state that the cosmos has. It's already there. Just awaken, open your eyes, your mind's eye, to the process, which is so much more fulfilling. So it answers all questions. What's the first thing you do, or the first things you do when you see a shooting star? Oh, there it is. Oh, there it goes. Where'd it go? That's what we do with everything that happens in this engine of life. Instead of focusing on the engine, we're looking at the exhaust. And that causes you suffering? If you knew the exhaust is what caused your suffering, would you like, make an effort not to think about the exhaust anymore? Really? Wouldn't you? Yeah. I want to see those sparks. I want to see that electric motor being driven around magnetically. All that power happening moment to moment. I don't know what analogy you need. I'm just telling you over and over again. I hope you heard the repetition that's going on here in different words. Single-mindedly meet Buddha, seek Buddha, open your Buddha eye. That's the practice. Nothing else. And when you do that, you'll want to share it. Yeah, it's an outgrowth of, why do you think the cosmos is so large? Because one atom said, "Woo, I'm an atom. I don't need anything else." No, the first thing the atom did was, "Oh, I can be that atom. I can become a molecule. What can I make?" It continues to grow, right? This is why we have Asankhya, sands of the Ganges. It's unfathomable, the potential. Potential, formation, form, realm of form. Realm of form is a temporary, empty expression. It's meaningful in that it's happening. Not that it ever existed. That's great, but that it's finding new ways to exist. Be in the moment. The moment of creation, the moment of your mind's perception of the experience of life. That's where life is. When you plant a seed in your garden, that's the moment of planting a seed. When the seed starts to sprout through the soil, that's the moment of sprouting. Be excited by that. You don't go look at the sprout and think back to, "I remember that," you know. And it's gone. The sprouting is what's happening now. Wow. Be there. As it grows, be there. As it blossoms, be there. When it bears fruit, wow. If it weren't for all those successive moments of amazing progression, putting your finger in the mud with a seed or two at the end of it, oh boy, it doesn't mean anything. It's just playing with stuff, right? If you're a gardener, if you planted anything, you know what I'm talking about. This is how Buddhism works. Focus on the objective. The process and every step to the objective then is wonderful. But if you don't focus on the objective, everything is arduous, dirty, work. It's subtle, but it's so profound. Do the same thing with your mind. Buddha. All right. I'm done yakking. I hope you're as blown away by this sutra as I am. Seems like the more time that I read it, the more it sinks in. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I appreciate your support. You know, like and subscribe. It's a Bodhisattva act. It helps grow the Sangha. The links are in the description below. Bookstore, mandala store, podcasts, the website, lots of info there. Take care of your health. I'll see you in the next one, okay? Bye for now.